But the last few weeks, we've been focusing in on one part or one piece of this verse. But we're going to come back and get into some more things, you know, pertaining to it as well. But Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." And so we see a pattern here. Obviously, our soul delighting itself in abundance is necessary in order for us to truly delight ourselves in outward abundance. The Bible says that we are in health and we prosper as our soul prospers. So you can't have outward prosperity without inward prosperity. You can't have outward health without inward health. And letting our soul delight itself in abundance is a key factor in enjoying the abundance that Father created us to experience and enjoy and has already freely given to us. But your soul delighting itself in abundance is based upon your diet. What are you feeding on? What are you eating? Amen. And if you're feeding your inward man, which is your mind, emotions, and will, if you're feeding your inward man on poverty and lack and worry and bitterness and envy and these kinds of things, well, that's not going to create within you a healthy and prosperous soul. But in order to eat what is good, and every good thing comes from our Heavenly Father, amen, if we're going to eat what is good, we're going to have to listen carefully to Him. So your soul, let's go all the way to experiencing and enjoying outward prosperity is based upon letting your soul delight itself in abundance. Your soul delighting itself in abundance is dependent upon what you're eating, what you're feeding upon, and what you feed upon is dependent upon your ability to listen carefully to the Lord. Are you seeing this? Okay. So listen carefully is what Father God says, and we spent some time talking about that and what that means and what that looks like. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been in this portion of Scripture in Matthew 13. And if you're familiar with this chapter, well, really it's a long chapter, 50-something verses. But Jesus begins with the parable of parables. It's the parable of the sower. And I think it's in Mark's account of this parable. He says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the others? So it's a master key parable that'll unlock our ability to understand, to hear and receive the message that Jesus is wanting to impart through all the other parables. And then there's a bridge in between Jesus giving the parable and explaining the parable. And it begins with verse 8. He who has ears to hear, Matthew 13, 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. So we're going to circle back around to this, but I want to point it out as we work our way through. Jesus said it was given to them. In other words, it wasn't because they were smarter than everybody else. It wasn't, you know, because, you know, their number finally came up and it was their turn. It wasn't random. It wasn't accidental. It was something that God gave to them. He gave them the ability to understand the mysteries of His kingdom. And He wants to give that same ability to every human being. He wants everybody, especially His children, to have ears to hear. And so the question is, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus is explaining that they're not in a position to hear what He came to tell them. So He's telling them stories that obviously have meaning woven into them, like the filling of a cream-filled donut or whatever, you know. There's understanding in there. And what, of course, Jesus is hoping is that they will, and believing, is that they will hear these parables and think about them and ultimately open up their heart for God to help them understand what it is that Jesus is saying to them. But that's key. The disciples were given something that others had not been given. And I can assure you that it's not God playing favorites. What he'll give to one, he'll give to the others. So what we have to ask then is, what did these folks have to qualify themselves to receive this gift, this prize that others did not yet have? And of course we see ultimately that it was the attitude of their heart. But let's keep going. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. So notice, they're not hearing because Jesus wasn't an accomplished teacher. I took school seriously and made good grades. Thank God. Okay. But I had a couple of teachers in high school. And I'm not calling any names or whatever. I mean, you know, two of them, matter of fact, two of them have in mind right now. They were at the end of their career. And they probably should have just retired a few years back, you know, before I got there. And there are things that Bethany talks to me about in biology. And I'm like, I would have been fascinated by that if I'd had a teacher that could explain that and teach that the way Bethany, I know she's my daughter, but she can make that stuff come alive, you know. And so, you know, sometimes people aren't getting it because the teacher teaching them. And then we know that people have different ways of, you know, some people are very visual learners and so forth and so on. I'll try to go down that whole road. But I can assure you, if somebody wasn't getting what Jesus was saying, it wasn't because he was a failure as a teacher. Finest teacher ever lived. So, I am a teacher. I'm also a student. A lot of you are teachers, you're also students. But we're seeing something of a different nature here. There were probably very, very highly educated. I mean, when you start talking about educated people, it's hard to get any more educated than a Pharisee. But they weren't hearing what Jesus was saying. So we're talking about something that transcends intellect. And as fine a teacher as Jesus was, none finer. Let me say it another way. If they couldn't get it from Jesus, they couldn't get it from anybody. Do you understand what I mean by that? Sometimes, some of y'all know Miss Blackwell, Arlene Blackwell. I had her every year in math. Man, she's born again. I call her my sister. Amen. Miss Blackwell could teach some math. Amen. Are you following me? And math's really not my thing. No offense, Amy. I know it is your thing. Okay. It's really not my thing, but she taught me math. She's an outstanding teacher. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, but we're not talking about that. I had some math teachers in college that were not good teachers. And anyway, but praise God. Jesus was as fine as they come. It wasn't like, well, you know, if somebody else would come in here and explain this, maybe we could get it. No. There's a gap. Nothing wrong with their hearing, nothing wrong with their eyesight. But it's not making its way to their heart, and we understand with the heart. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hear they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, how many of you know Jesus? Certainly these men, and I'm sure women among them, the disciples, they were further along in these things than most. But we still see Jesus correcting them and asking them, where's your faith? How is it that you don't understand? How is it that you don't perceive? So there was even a gap among these that Jesus is commending. So without trying to reteach it, last week we said that according to Matthew 13 and 12, there's something you and I can have that will position us to receive more and more. And then not having this same something will make it easy for the devil to take away what we do have. And so the riddle, if you remember, was what enables God to give you more and prevents the devil from stealing what you have? And what it ultimately boils down to is a heart to understand, what the Message translation calls readiness of heart. In the Message translation, it says that the people refused to come to Jesus because they didn't want to have to deal with him face to face so that he could heal them. And we use some physical examples of not wanting to go to the dentist, or I remember back when the report cards came in those envelopes and you had to squeeze them and look down in there at it, you know. And I knew I made pretty good grades, but even like in the earlier grades, I was still like, man, maybe something happened last minute and I failed, you know. And I wouldn't even pull it out. I'd kind of squeeze that envelope, look down in there, you know. Because again, sometimes we don't want to deal, with things. And so, we ignore them, and it requires humility and courage on our part to say yes to the Lord. Now, I want to spend the time that we have remaining. I'll talk a little bit about they were given the ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, and others, he said, have not been given that same ability. And of course, we see why it was given to them is because of their ready heart to hear and receive. And this goes back, obviously, to our ability to hear. So let's dig into this a little more. Luke 24 and 45, I put the New King James Version and the Passion Translation up on the same slide. This is when Jesus was raised from the dead, and the Bible says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. The Passion Translation says he supernaturally unlocked their understanding to receive the revelation of the scriptures. Somebody say, Lord, do it again right here. Do it for me. Do it again right here. Notice it required something of supernatural quality, something that he supernaturally did. This goes beyond the finest teacher that ever lived and the sharpest mind that ever listened. This is next level. Now, let's again look at some other scriptures that are related to this same subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are, what does it say? Spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. So there are a lot of things that you can learn, come to the knowledge of, and understand through physical learning. Back to my mother's phrase, sense realm knowledge. Things that appeal to and make sense to the human intellect, common sense, only makes sense, you know, kind of say that stuff about these things. And a lot of those things are things that will help you in life. But A friend of mine, Mickey Welch, he used to say about things like that, he said, you know, that might be something good to live by, but I'm not sure I would want to die by that, right? In other words, we want the truth when we leave here, not best thinking of man. So it says that they're spiritually discerned. So again, Jesus unlocked a specific group of people's understanding and not everyone's. It says he unlocked their understanding. It didn't say Jesus rose from the dead and now all of a sudden every human being on planet Earth, their understanding was unlocked. No, he unlocked their understanding. So the question again, why was it given to the disciples to know the mysteries and not to others? What qualified them to have their understanding unlocked and disqualified others? Are you following me now? Why is this important? Well, again, if we want our understanding unlocked, if we want to have the insights into Father's ways and wisdom to flow freely in our lives, we need to learn from their example and follow it closely. Now, it comes back to, and I'm not trying to, I was going to get specific about some things, but it comes back to, again, the attitude of the heart, a ready heart. The Message translation says that the people's hearts were not ready to receive. That's why they had eyes and ears to see, but they weren't understanding in their hearts. And so when, thank you, Jesus. So look at John chapter 6. Let's just do this right now, and we'll look at some of these other verses in a minute. John chapter 6, verses 67 and 68. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, we go to this passage. Sometimes I just quote it. But we go to this passage and refer to it early and often. And if you're familiar with this chapter, Jesus is teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And it offended a lot of people. And the Bible says that many followed him no more. There were some people who had, you know, got on his mailing list and were starting to support him every month or whatever, you know, I'm being silly, but you know, in other words, they were getting into this whole Jesus thing and Jesus movement and what have you until he preached this sermon. And because it didn't make sense to them and it grossed them out and they didn't understand it, they just got their stuff and went home. But not the disciples. Later that day, everything's kind of winding down. They're still there. Jesus says, "You're going to leave me too." They're like, "Where would we go? You have the words of life." But remember, they did not understand the sermon either. That's important. They had no idea what Jesus was saying. But do you see the attitude of their heart? The attitude of their heart was, "I don't know what you're talking about, but I know what's right. I don't exactly understand what you meant today, but I know you've got answers that I can't find anywhere else. And I'm not going anywhere." One translation says, "When you speak, Jesus, something comes alive on the inside of me." Can I tell you what I believe that is? It's bearing witness with their spirit. Man, early in our days, you know, coming out of a church that didn't believe in or practice the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and that sort of thing. And then we, as a family, we simultaneously, I would say within a year or so, that we were introduced to the fullness of God's Spirit. We were also introduced to Brother Hagin and Brother Capps and Fred Price and, what some call the Word of Faith, which the Bible says the Word of Faith, which we preach. And, man, you talking about some new stuff. Things that we were hearing that we'd never heard before. And, you know, Brother Hagin talking about writing your own ticket with God. And, you know, it's like, you know, it was very foreign to us. And the tendency was to dismiss it. But the Lord spoke very clearly to my mother, and I think somebody else had told her this as well, because she had some questions. And, you know, sometimes you ask people questions and they don't have the answers either. And sometimes they'll tell you they don't have the answers, but sometimes they'll just make something up. And so, but this is, I love the answer. And I know it didn't originate with whoever told my mother this, and then she told it to us. But she said, if you hear something you don't understand, put it on a shelf. Don't just throw it out. Especially if it bears witness with your spirit. So there's two witnesses, right? You've got the witness of the spirit inside, and then you've got the word of God on the outside. And that inward witness will tell you there's something to this. There's treasure in that field. You need to look deeper into this, even though you don't even know where in the word of God to find it. And then there's times that inward witness will say, no. But see, that's why you got two. Because sometimes, you know, it'll be offensive to you because you don't understand it, and you'll just automatically write it off instead of taking it to the word. See what the word says. Are you following me? Or then sometimes something will bear witness to your spirit and you don't take it to the word, and it turns out later that it was wrong. We can't just base it on how we feel when we hear something, right? We got to search the scriptures. But so the wise person that told my mother this, she said, look, just before you just reject it altogether, put it on a shelf and keep growing and keep learning. And one day you'll come to a place where you take it off the shelf and put it into your life, or you take it in the shelf and you throw it in the garbage. And so when the disciples says, when you speak Jesus, something comes alive, they didn't understand what he was saying. But something on the inside of them says, this man knows stuff we don't know, and we want to know what he knows. You realize that, right? We for those of you who've been through discipleship class, we were on the lesson tonight, what is man? And the answer, of course, first answer is God class beings. And you know, some folks like never heard anything like that in their lives. And I remember some of the first times we preached that and taught that here at Heritage. That was one of the first, when I say mass exodus, there was quite a few people that left. I mean, it was like, that man says we're gods, you know. So I didn't say you're gods. Jesus, the Bible says it. John says it. Jesus said it in the Gospel of John. But but again, when you hear something like that, most people just, there ain't no way, that's right, that heresy, you know. I would have parents of Bethany's friends at school, you know, field trips and birthday parties and whatever, you know. It's like, hey, let me ask you something, you know. Do you really believe you're a God? You know, it's like, again, you know, it's like, you know, are you really that big of a nut? You know what I'm saying? Well, but again, you know, you hear things like that, you can be offended and write it off. Keep believing you're a wretch and a worm. Or you can say, man, I have never heard anything like that. Are you sure? Okay, well, let's search the scriptures. What does the scripture say? Jesus says, the biblical record says you're God's and it cannot be broken. Well, anyway, it kind of went over in there like it's going over in here right now. You know, so everybody's like, what? You know. So it was like that. It was that same experience where the disciples were like, man, what is he saying? Going to eat him? Are we going to eat him tonight? I mean, where do we start with his arm? I mean, what? Are you following what I'm saying? But someone inside them said, you need to stay very close to that man right there because he has answers. He knows things. So it's the attitude of their heart. So notice now, while everybody else is at home fuming, gossiping, tearing Jesus to shreds around the dinner table, the disciples are sitting right there at his feet learning from him. That's why they could see what others couldn't see. That's why they could hear what others couldn't hear. That's why they could understand what other people couldn't understand. Let me show it to you in Mark chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. And then he says something very similar to what he said in the way Mark recorded it anyway. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Now, when Jesus talks about the measure you use will be measured back to you, we see that applied to different subjects, right? I mean, the way you judge other people is how you'll be judged. The way you show mercy to other people is how mercy will be shown back to you. So it's reciprocal. Are you saying this? It's reciprocal. So when Jesus says, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now you think, okay, he's talking about what, but then he's talking about how you hear. So when Jesus says, take heed what you hear, what is he saying? There's a lot of people criticizing Jesus. There are a lot of people calling him anything but a nice person. Are you going to listen to what? Let's use it. I don't know if I need to say this in here or not, but you need to be very careful what you hear about Jesse Duplantis. Right? You need to be very careful what you hear about Kenneth Copeland, Brother Hagin. Why am I singing those men out? Because these are men who are teaching faith to God's people. These are men who are breaking religious molds and all sorts of stuff. And there are, please don't. Don't waste your time. Don't give it. But this would be the classic example. If you Google these men, there are so many people. Nothing good to say whatsoever. Have no idea. They don't know the man. They don't know what he does. They don't know who he is. They don't know what he stands for. Everybody's so critical of Brother Duplantis. He lives in a really nice home. So what folks don't understand is that God told him to be an example of prosperity. So I could go on and on with this. He was audited. This is many years ago. The government actually wound up, he had paid too many taxes. And at that point, he had given $300 million to the work of the ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? Some people don't know that. So when Jesus is saying, take heed what you hear, can you imagine AD 29 Googling Jesus? What people would say and how critical they would be and he's a drunkard. I mean, think of what they said without the internet. He just hangs around with, I saw him at a brothel the other night. I mean, are you following what I'm saying? So Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Because if you listen to them folks and believe what they're saying about me, you're not going to listen to me. If you believe what the religious Pharisees in our world today say about the Keith Moores of the world and the Rick Renners of the world, you're not going to listen to anything those men have to say. And I'm telling you, you read Rick Renner's devotional in your inbox every morning, it'll change your life. Okay. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So what he's saying is, hearing requires effort. Hearing requires an investment of our time. Hearing is something we do intentionally, deliberately. We do it on purpose if we're going to do it. And so what he's literally saying is the effort that you put forth to hear determines how clearly you're able to hear. For whoever has to him more will be given, but him to whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. Man, this one right here fires me up. Then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. Man. That phrase, according to the depth of your longing to understand. Are you with me? Are you seeing this? So let's go back to the disciples. Again, everybody heard that message. Crowd went away mad. There's people stomping out before Jesus even finished. I'm sure. Compare that to the disciples who also did not understand what he was talking about. But look at the depth of their longing to understand. See, really, I think what it boils down to is, it boils down to pride and judgment and, I know more than him and all this other stuff, you know. Let's look at this same verse in the Amplified. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. So it comes back to hearing and then the thought. Again, why did he tell parables? He's trying to create readiness of heart in the masses of people listening to him. He's trying to share something with them that has the truth from another world woven into it in hopes that, you know, tomorrow when they're plowing or tomorrow when they're on their way to get water at the well or, you know, later that evening when, you know, they finally have dinner and sit down to take a breath, that their minds will go back to that parable Jesus told them about wheat and tares or about a man who had two sons or about a woman who lost a coin. Are you following me? Because, let's go back, the measure of thought and study. A lot of people who study, but they don't think. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's like, I'm guilty of this, especially in college. You know, I would cram the night before an exam. Good memory would get me through it. But, man, heaven help us on the final, right? Because I didn't absorb a lot of that. So study is important. Reading the Bible is important. And we should develop a habit or pattern of doing that. And even studying the scriptures is important. But there has to come a moment, a part of this, where we really engage it with our thoughts. Because what happens when we do that is it invites the Holy Spirit to come alongside us then and begin to speak to us. You take some passage of scripture and you begin to think about it, mutter it to yourself. How does this apply to me? What was Jesus really saying here? What instructions are in this for me? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? What should I be doing that I'm not doing? In other words, whatever, obviously different verses speak to different things. But as we do that, right, giving God's word place in our heart, see, now the Holy Spirit come alongside you and he begin to impart that word to you. Again, it's spiritually discerned. But it's when we get out of the, you know, philosophical brain waves or what have you, and really begin to look at it as something that's living and powerful and something that God is saying to me, and how can I use this to better live a life that glorifies God? All these questions and thoughts, right? So that's, if you will, the heart to understand. All right, now, where does the time go? Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Okay. So ultimately what I'm trying to get to tonight is it's a choice. We mentioned, I'm going to skip over some stuff and come back. We mentioned, you know, this in the beginning of this message that Mary and Martha. And if you're not familiar with the story, I imagine most of you on a Wednesday night are, and those watching online. But Jesus, Bethany, the place, the little town of Bethany, and Mary and Martha's house. Bethany in general, Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, brothers and sisters, in general, it was Jesus's honeycomb hideout. I mean, it was his safe place. It was a place where he was welcome and loved, and he was friends. I mean, Lazarus, you know, anyway. And so Jesus is there in their house. You know, I picture him like, you know, sitting in Lazarus's chair. You know what I mean by that? You know, ladies, do the men in your, do they have their chair? You know, it's just their chair, you know. And, so I believe Lazarus, you get the chair, right? And so he's there and people are gathered around and Jesus is teaching. Can you imagine that opportunity? Of course, we know what Martha's doing. She's in there working, and the more she works with her sister sitting there listening to Jesus, the madder she gets. And she finally comes stomping in there, and she doesn't fuss at Mary, her sister. She fusses at Jesus. One translation says she stood over him, talking down to him, and commanded him to tell her sister to come help her. Aren't you glad Jesus is gentle and compassionate and patient? Because I'm sure we've all done something similar in our lives before we get too hard on our sister. All right? But listen to what Jesus says. He says, one thing is needed. But one thing is needed. And Mary has what? Chosen. She's chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Can I tell you what's happening when Martha's in that kitchen fuming and talking under her breath and the devil's taking all the things that he can take from her that she's learned from Jesus? Do you see it? Remember, he who has more will be given, but to him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So Mary is chosen the good part. Okay. We will pick this back up next week because I got way more here than I have the opportunity tonight, the time tonight to cover. But I wrote this in my notes just again. Now this is what I do when I study the scriptures. I try to picture it. I try to imagine. That's why I've got Jesus sitting in Lazarus's recliner. You know, not reclined necessarily, but you know what I'm talking about, the best seat. If Jesus came to my house, I would want him to sit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. In my chair. But that may not be. But that's, again, I just try to imagine this and picture this, and what's going on. And so this is what came out of my heart and mind and imagination, if you will. I don't believe Mary was lazy any more than I believe Martha had no interest in what Jesus was talking about in her living room. It's real easy to just drop the hammer on Martha, you know. It's just, you know, you arrogant, you know. No, it wasn't like that. And for some, you know, it's easy, like, come on, Mary, you know, I mean, you can talk to Jesus anytime. We're trying to get the meal on the table here. So I don't believe Mary was lazy. I believe it's one of the reasons that Martha was so upset is that she always helped her. Why aren't you helping me now? If I'd have known I was going to do this all by myself, I'd have started earlier this morning. I got up early. You see what I'm saying, right? In other words, if Mary never helped her in the kitchen, she wouldn't be expecting her to help her now. So I don't think Mary was lazy. And I don't think Martha could care less about what Jesus was talking about. But here's the choice, right? When Jesus said only one thing is needed, do you realize, I'm going to be gentle tonight, okay, but do you realize how many people know in their hearts that they needed to be here tonight? But they also needed to wash clothes. They also needed to meal prep for the rest of the week. They also needed to get their income tax stuff together. They also needed to and 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 needed to. And some of that's an excuse, but some of that is legitimate. I heard Jeremy Pearson say it this way. Mary's sitting there going, I've seen what this guy can do with a piece of fish and a loaf of bread. I ain't going anywhere, you know. So food's mood, right? We don't need no food. He can feed us, right, you know. Getting quiet up in here. You follow me? Do you realize how many things, we talked about those opportunities several weeks ago and how if we were to ever see for ourselves how many opportunities we've missed out on and what those things have cost us, right? How many times that Father God was wanting to work in our lives and we desperately need Him to, but we considered another need to be more important. What do you do when you got two things that are needed? Did the people need to be fed? Yes. Okay. So, I'm a recovering Martha. You understand what I mean by that? Amen. Amen. I mean, I tend to fall on that side of things, you know. But what do you do when there's two needed things that are conflicting with one another? Can't be in two places at one time. You know, really wanted to be there tonight, but you know, the kids needed to do their homework. Are you see what I'm saying? Is homework important? Yes. It's important. I'm not bashing that. But when you got two things that are both needed, you have to decide which one's needed more. Am I right about it? Come on, stand with me tonight. You got to decide which one's needed more. Jesus wasn't saying that nobody needed to eat that day. But he said Mary had chosen the good part. That word good, as you can only imagine, means way more than just simply being good. It means useful, beneficial. I got a whole long list of them here in my notes somewhere. I won't try to find it all. The part that, and this is so beautiful the way he says it, won't be taken away from her. Won't be taken away from her. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight that we're not just hearing about the qualifications to have ears that hear and eyes that see and hearts to understand. We are putting these things into practice in our lives, Lord. We're choosing to prioritize you and your word over other things that may be important, but we can find time for that later. There's nothing that we will ever need more in life than hearing from you. And Lord, I think everybody knows this, Father. We don't have to be right here in this church. I pray that this is not the only place that we listen to you and hear from you. But Father, it certainly is a special place, because all discipleship takes place within the context of discipleship, Lord. I'm sorry, fellowship, Father. So we fellowship together. We learn together. We grow together. This atmosphere, this environment, Lord, when we all come together and worship you, it is a very, very special place, and hopefully, Father, an easy place where people can hear you. And so, Father, I just say thank you, Lord, for what you're teaching us and showing us. Help us prioritize you and your word in a greater way, in a greater degree and level in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. You're awesome. This Wednesday night group is awesome. Thanks for everybody that's watching online. Amen. And we will see you Sunday. Invite somebody to come with you, and we're going to have a great time together. In Jesus.